today on A Word to Live By.
Pray without ceasing. Always pray. Don't stop praying. Pray about everything. Pray about everyone. Pray about every circumstance. So when you always pray, what does it look like? How do I live an unceasing prayer life before God?
The Bible tells us to pray always, but can we really be in prayer all the time? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares what it means to pray constantly and the great impact it can have. In today's message, Always Pray.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the things that we've been doing is looking at a Thanksgiving series out of this passage, namely verses 16, 17, and 18. And last week we looked at rejoicing always, or always rejoice. This morning we're going to be looking at always pray. And then next week we're going to talk about always give thanks. Now when we look at this passage of scripture, we look at, let's look at verse 12 and just notice the context of 16 through 18. We request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, who give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak, and be patient with everyone. And all he is saying is listen, as you reflect him and as you move through this thing called life, this race, don't grumble and complain about them. There's some great things that you can do for them. Thus, verse 16. Look at that. Rejoice always. 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but if you've practiced any of that this week, all the things of this life will start to grow dim. I promise you. Why? Because we talked last week, we're rejoicing in him. As we take our eyes off the stuff, as we take our eyes off the unruly, as we take our eyes off the faint-hearted, as we take that and we look to him and ask God, how can we minister to the people around us and not walk in complaint? Not walk in complaint of our leadership, not walk in complaint of our brother and sister in Christ, not to walk in complaint of our political leaders, to not walk in complaint and grumbling so that all the stuff that's coming out of our mouth is negative, 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 negative. And that's why he'll say, as we saw last week, always rejoice. Always rejoice. And then we get to the second, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Always pray. Don't stop praying. Pray about everything. Pray about everyone. Pray about every circumstance. Don't judge the unruly. Don't judge the faint-hearted. Don't complain about the weak. Don't complain about the circumstances. Rejoice always. Pray about everything. In everything, give thanks. Now, I know that a few months ago, or back in March, we began a series on prayer. And so I don't want to just look at those same kind of principles of prayer, but I do want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to pray without ceasing. It's interesting, when I was looking up the words again for these two specific words in verse 17, to pray without ceasing, what do those words mean? And as I looked up the word prayer, it comes from two words. And believe it or not, the words that they use is just kind of floored me a little bit. It's two words, and the main word is to wish. To wish. And the second word means to wish towards. And in the context of our God, we wish toward our God. Now, this is not some wishing like I'm going to go to the wishing well and throw my quarter in or my 50 cents in and then ring the bell and make a wish for the Jaguar or the, you know, or the $1 million publishing clearinghouse, right? Because none of us play the lottery in here, right? So, and I wish I can win that. I wish that could happen. I wish upon a star. No, that's not it. It's this thought that says, I've got this desire, I've got this compulsion in my heart for something, and it's toward God above all else, and it's to desire Him. And so that's what that means. It means my prayer is that I'm coming to God with the wishes of my life that really line up with Him, the desires that even God has placed in me, and I'm coming to Him for that. And that's what prayer is. Prayer in the simple form. It just simply means to bring hope. It means I bring hope and strong desires to God. That's what it means. And then the word without ceasing is very obvious. It means that you always do it. It's without stopping. And there's something else to that word, always, when you talk about always praying. And it means that not only do I always, that I'm always, or I'm not stopping, it means that I'm always aware and conscious of God's presence. God's will. God's way. Now, I want to say this. Every one of us in here who has Christ can be aware of the presence of God. Always. Or I don't think Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, would ever write, do this without ceasing. This is not incessant talking. It doesn't mean that pray and never stop talking. Okay? It's an attitude, it's a spirit that's upon my life. It's an attitude that I live out in a relationship with God as I speak to Him and He speaks to me, and then I speak back to Him, or I speak it over somebody, or I speak it in the conversation, and I'm in the Word of God, and I'm being fed on a daily basis, and I'm learning to feed myself. I'm not just looking for Mike to do it, or the radio guy to do it, or a Sunday school teacher to do it. I'm in the Word, I'm in it daily. God is speaking to me, and I'm speaking back to Him. That is prayer. And as God speaks to me, He's placing within me the desires that are right, that are godly, that are good. And I bring those desires before Him. And that's prayer. To glorify God. To honor Him. To see His kingdom come, His will be done in my life and around. To see the daily provision of food, the daily provisions for my life. To see those and to come before God and to ask of those. It's almost like it's this conscious thought that I'm on call. I'm on call. And there's something on my mind and there's something on my heart. And when it's on there, you pray about it. You speak it to God. You share it with God. And you let God speak back. That's prayer. To pray without ceasing. It's not just, okay, I'm going to have my quiet time and then shut it off. No. It's an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To pray without ceasing, to always know and to believe and to understand that I am in His presence. I think that's what it means. I think that's what it means to pray without ceasing. Now let's look at that. So that's what it means, but when you always pray, what does it look like? What does it look like? Turn to the passage in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Great passage of scripture that we spent many months on, by the way. And I'm going to read the passage to you. We're just going to look at a couple of things. And then we're going to talk about how do we live it out. Okay? How do we live, pray without ceasing? Okay? Chapter 11. It happened that while Jesus, verse 1, was praying in a certain place, after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, because we ourselves also forgive everyone. We forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So He says a simple prayer that is an outline that we spoke of. And if you'd like to get the series, you can check online that's there, okay? But it's a pattern of prayer here. It's where I hallow the name of God. And I think about the kingdom coming into my life and what that means into my family and our church and our world. And then to pray for daily needs. And then to confess our sins, to ask God to forgive us. And to make things right in our prayer time with others as we forgive others who are indebted. And then this whole thought of leading us not into temptation. Now look at verse 5. I want you to notice three things about the next thing about always praying. It's persistent, it's continual, and it's Holy Spirit specific. Notice, he says, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, don't bother me. The door's been shut. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Now, I tell you, even though he'll not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. You know, God wants that kind of persistence, to come before him with boldness to ask, and to ask always, to have a pattern of your life that you're asking. And that's persistence. That's what persistence is. And another word for it is inopportunity, which means, you know, this just it doesn't make sense to ask God for this, or ask this person at this time in the night, but I'm going to do it, and that person's impressed with it. God's impressed with the bold praying. He's impressed with persistence. The second thing about this praying is it's continual. It's continual. Notice what he says after that. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it'll be opened. Now, notice a couple of things. He says, I say to you, ask. In the original Greek, this is what it says. It says, I say to you, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. Because everyone who is asking is receiving. And everyone who is seeking is finding. And to him who is knocking, it's always being opened. Always. Now, listen, when I think about prayer life, when I think about it in this term, I just want to be honest, I don't really think about in terms of the things that my flesh wants. It's not like I'm asking God for things that I want to spend on my own pleasures. Matter of fact, James says you have not because you ask not, and you ask and don't receive because that's what you do. You spend it on your own pleasures. And so when we look at this kind of asking and this seeking and this knocking, it's always with the view of pleasing God, of honoring him, of seeing him glorified and lifted up in our lives. You know, I think about all the things that God has said of us, all the things that God has promised. And then the big thing is how he's invited us to have influence in the kingdom of God and to see people come to Christ, to see the Lord Jesus Christ exalted in our lives, in our church, in our family. And he's invited us to that. And so when I look at God's heart, those are the things that I start praying about. I start praying about people. I start praying about those who are struggling. And you know, what happens is that when I'm looking in this whole thought of just continuing to ask, it's not just, oh God, can I have it? 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 No, it's not that. It's just when this prompting comes, I'm praying. And I'm praying about it always. And I'm in a season of prayer. And I'm praying that he'd be glorified. And I'm praying that God's peace would reign. And I'm praying that his will would be done. And I'm praying that God would use me and use us as a church body for his glory and for his honor. And then it's just all the other people and all the other things in my life that just come to my mind. And because it's this thing that's continual, it's not a barrage, but it's just, man, it's just like, boy, it comes to me. It comes to me. And you know what? Sometimes I'll text you and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Or I've been praying for you. Or if I haven't heard from you, I've been missing you. I'm praying for you today. And that's what God wants us to be. Totally on call to hear what God's saying, to pray it, and to obey it. To hear what God's saying, to pray it, and to obey it. That's what I think this means when he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, it's like, you reap what you sow, right? In a good way and a bad way. And if you're in this attitude of prayer and you're asking and seeking and you're knocking always, don't you think that those seeds you're planted, the more you plant, the more results, the more things that you're going to see? And I could stop here and I can think about all the things that you've prayed about that God, you know, has answered miraculously because you prayed. Look at the next verse. What I want to say is that it's continual. It's persistent, it's continual, but it's Holy Spirit specific. Notice what he says, verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He'll not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then being evil, if you then have this nature that's evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, watch this. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's Holy Spirit specific. It's Holy Spirit first. Because he's my guide. He's the one that leads. He's the one who gifts. He's the one who stirs. He's the one. He is the active work of the Trinity God right now, the triune God right now in our midst. It's the Holy Spirit that's in you and in you and in you and in me and every one of us right now. And so what I want to do is that I want to continually ask for the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, isn't the Holy Spirit there? Yeah, he's in my life, but I'm asking for leadership. I'm asking for wisdom. I'm asking for it. And let me just say, that's what I really believe, that this is what this prayer comes down to. It's asking the Holy Spirit. It's seeking the Holy Spirit. It's knocking for the Holy Spirit's work in my life, my family's life, my church's life, my communities, my nation, my world, and all the places that God sends me. Holy Spirit, living God, fall fresh upon us. Holy Spirit, living God, lead us this day. Lead us in all truth. Lead us to make the wise decisions, the wise responses. Prompt us, Lord. I mean, it's the Spirit which says that causes us, that empowers us to be the witnesses to the ends of the earth. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what I love about Luke's interpretation. You're a father and your son asks you for an egg. Are you going to give him a scorpion? No, you're going to give him an egg. You ask him for bread. He's going to give you a rock. No, he's not going to give you a stone. He's going to give you bread. You ask God, the Holy Spirit today, to lead you, guide you, direct you. Is God going to say, nah, not today? Is that the kind of father God we serve? No, not today. God, show me my life. Show me where I am in this life. Lord, expose my sin. And show me what I'm doing right. But God, show me what I'm doing wrong. And God, I want to hear you this day. I want to hear you. Yeah, this pray, always pray. What does it look like? It's persistent. It's continual. It's Holy Spirit specific. The third thing. First thing was always pray. What does it mean? Always pray. What does it look like? Third, always pray. How do we live it out? I want you to turn back to Psalm chapter 16 that we looked at for just a moment last week. And we're going to look at it just a little bit more this morning. Psalm chapter 16. How do I live an unceasing prayer life before God? An ongoing relationship. And I want you to notice let's just begin verse 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who's counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. Do you see the relationship here? In the night, I mean, there's something going on. The Lord, he's counseling me. And through my mind, he's instructing me in the night. And therefore, I've set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. Why? Because my flesh also will dwell securely. You'll not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. In other words, in Christ, there's afterlife in him. It doesn't end with the grave. He doesn't abandon you at the grave. There's this confidence that he has. You're going to make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forever. Set the Lord continually before you. You want to know how to do that? You want to know how to pray without ceasing? Set the Lord continually before you. So how do I do that? I wish David would say, hey, this is how you do it. But he doesn't. He just says, hey, I've set the Lord continually before me. So what I think it is for me, it's a position, it's an attitude. That the presence of God is here, it's right here, right now. But it is when I'm in the foyer, and then when I walk out, and I walk to my car, and I get in my car, that he's here, right now, right here. And I'm driving down the road, and he's here. He's here right now. I'm acknowledging the presence of God. I think that's the best thing that I can describe it. Acknowledge that God is near, and not only near, he is here right now, right here. It's just a confession. A confession of what I believe. He's here. He's here right now. Studying the Lord before me is this conscious awareness that God is here. It's to set him before you, and I acknowledge it. And you know, I think the second thing is that not only as I set the Lord continually before me, I'm going to set him before me with faith and great expectation of God's goodness always. God is a good God. He's a great God. He's a God who does good, not evil to us all our lives. That's what he says. He's a God who does good, not evil. And there's some of the things that we see that happen in our life we may not like. They may be hard. They may be difficult. There may be loss. But he's a good God. He's a great God. And so when I look at this passage of Scripture, I see the psalmist David, who has had his share of heartache, his share of stuff, his share of failure. He will say, God is in my life. He is counseling me even in my bed. He's instructing me through the night. I've set the Lord continually before me. Now, notice the faith. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You know, we just have just such a hard time believing that. Oftentimes, we're not people of faith in that moment. We're people of doubt, unbelief. We wring our hands and we jump to conclusions about things that have not yet happened. And we say, this is going to happen. But I want to tell you, set the Lord continually before you. You'll never be shaken. Your joy won't be shaken. Your strength won't be shaken. Your ability won't be shaken. It's the principle of seeking him first, setting your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. I've got a trial here, and I'm really hurting and struggling, and I've got some problems with it. I mean, I do. I'm struggling with it. But if I always keep my mind and I set the problem before me continually, I will continually be a nervous wreck. And how long does it take for me to do this to look up to him? It takes that long. To get priority right. So I just, you know what? I got to get my mind off this. I set my mind continually on him with a confidence that I'll not be shaken. And I'll live my life and I'll get to the grave and it won't be fruitless and in vain. But that, as I set the Lord continually, I know he's going to teach me. He's going to show me. He's going to lead me. He's going to empower me. He's going to remove the things from my life that need to be removed. He's going to finish his work. So when I get to the grave, my tombstone just doesn't say, nice guy. Nice guy. Or I come to the end of my retirement and they give me a gold watch. Thanks a lot. No, there's meaning in this life. And I come to an end of a life having set my life, my eyes continually on him. To maybe have it said of you, he was never shaken. I never saw him shaken. Went out of this life reflecting God. Set the Lord continually before you. Pray without ceasing. However you want to say it today, you won't be shaken. You might be rattled. Won't be shaken. I love the promises of God. I know they're right. I know they're real. I know they're good. I know it. Set the Lord continually with a faith to believe that you're not going to be shaken, that God's going to fulfill what he said he's going to fulfill in your life, your marriage, your children's lives, your family, your church. And he says, listen, you're going to make known to me the path of life. You're going to make known the way to go. Your presence is going to bring me joy, and the pleasures of the kingdom of God that I get to delight in will be mine forever. Set the Lord continually before you. Practice it. Determine, God, I want to see you this morning. Is that not a bad request? It's a great request. God, I want to see you today. I want to see the face of Jesus. It's about this desire again. It's this praying towards. It's this wishing towards. God, my wish for life is you. Is you. And you alone. So these are a couple of things that we can do in specific times of your life. Go to James chapter 1 again. We looked at that in a different context last week. We'll look at it in this context. And you're going through a trial. You're being tested. What do you want to ask God for? What do you want to keep knocking for? Well, you want to keep knocking for wisdom. You want to keep asking for wisdom. James chapter 1. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now that man ought not to expect that he receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now I look at this passage, and I say, so when I'm tried and tested, if I set my mind, if I'm setting him before me, how am I doing that? I'm asking for wisdom. I'm asking for the wisdom of God. Now look at James 3 for just a moment, and let me show you what wisdom is. Verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Verse 15, now watch this. This wisdom is not that which comes down from heaven, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above, watch, is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is not knowing about a ton of stuff. You can know about a ton of stuff. You can even know how to act, but choose not to act. And if your knowledge means nothing as far as wisdom's concerned, until you take the knowledge and you act upon it, that's the wise man. Hears the word, does the word, right? Hears the word, does the word. That's what wisdom is. You want to be wise? Find out what God is calling you to do and be, and by his power, do and be it. That's wise. That's the wise man. That's the wise woman. And that's what I want to ask for. God, that's what I ask for right now in this temptation. God, would you just give me wisdom right now? I'm asking for wisdom. And guess what? I'm believing as I set my life continually before you that you will provide that wisdom. You know, when I think about circumstances, and I think about life, every single day of our lives, we have the possibility of facing a trial. Is that right? Every day. Every day. Decision to make. A temptation. Trial. A test. Would you pray without ceasing in that and say, God, would you give me wisdom? Would you show me? Will you show me what to do? Will you show me what to say? Will you show me how to live? The last thing, when anxious and worried, do this. Go to Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6, 4 through 6. Anxious and worried. This is not a refrigerator verse, it is a refrigerator passage. It's something to put on your heart. It's something to quote. It's something to live. It's a powerful passage. And it has so much to do with our series on Thanksgiving. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice. You know, it's just so interesting to me. Hey, rejoice always. What do you mean always? Hey, I'm just saying again, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your gentleness, your faith, be known to all men. Hey, the Lord's near. You be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That's God. That's setting the Lord continually before you. And the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, you practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Church, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Always, always pray.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life. Or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org.
Proclaiming God's truth in real life. It's time for our word to live by.